So as you all know, Senator John McCain died this week, and I wanted to read some excerpt. Somebody had, and actually I think right now they probably have him lying in state. Senator John McCain lay in state on Friday in the Capitol, whose halls he prowled for decades, hailed as a war hero, a principled lawmaker, and a restless fighter for his beliefs, and honored with a ceremony reserved for the country's most revered figures. Continuing, Mr. McCain was the 31st person and only the 13th senator to lie in state at the Capitol. His coffin, atop the black crepe-draped catafalque that was constructed for Abraham Lincoln in 1865. I think Abraham Lincoln might have been the second to lie in state, the first or the second. You know, of that number, to 31 people, 11 presidents have shared that honor, along with statesmen and predominantly military leaders. And people can, there's a difference between lying in state and lying in honor. Other people, like Rosa Parks, have lied in honor in the Capitol. But lying in state is kind of the ultimate. You know, in the U.S., we have a day of remembrance for those who fought for our country, that being Memorial Day. We honor our independence and our freedom from tyranny on the 4th of July for the United States. But where do we honor those people who have brought peace into this world? Well, of course, it's the Nobel Peace Prize. We know some of those nominated but not awarded were Winston Churchill, Eisenhower, Truman, Roosevelt, and several other U.S. presidents, Benito Mussolini, Joseph Stalin, and Adolf Hitler. Now, Adolf Hitler was nominated more of a satiric criticism by one of the Swedes during making a political statement, and that nomination was quickly removed. But the others, it wasn't. You know, the very fact that so many commanders and chiefs are nominated, those that are in charge of armies, not even the presidents that actually have been given that Nobel Peace Prize. But that fact shows the meaninglessness of what the Peace Prize actually is. And the world looks for peace entirely different way than how God's followers should seek after peace. And the world rewards those that seek that kind of peace, satanically inspired peace. I want to read a section to see about a man that truly was a peacekeeper, and one that preached about peace, a great peace that would be part of all of our lives. In Luke 1, and beginning in verse 67. I'm going to read this whole section here. Luke 1 and verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. And you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, talking about his son, John the Baptist, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Speaking about John the Baptist, who he would be preaching about. John's whole role in preaching about peace. Continuing verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring, or the Messiah, from on high has visited us, to give us light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. John ushered in peace by preaching about Jesus Christ, preaching about the true being that will give peace to this world. And he preached to a world like today that was filled with violence. So John, being somebody that was preaching of that true peace, what did that get him? It got his head upon a platter. Beheaded for his godly understanding and preaching of peace. Turn with me over to Ephesians 2. Beginning in verse 14. Ephesians 2 and 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Christ, who John prophesied, who John preached about, brought that lasting and eternal peace by giving us the ability to access God the Father, something that had not been given except in small and very unique circumstances to mankind previous. And what did that get Christ? Death by crucifixion. But for those of us, we need an example of somebody that fails. Because we all fail, likewise. So let's look at David. And although David was a man of war, and although he lost out on the opportunity to build God's temple, he, as Christ said, had a heart that could change. And based just upon his writings in Psalm, we know that David understood peace. I'm going to read a few scriptures in Psalms. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 37:37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David understood that peace could not be achieved without God, without God's law, without God's strength, without the abundance of understanding that God can give us. Without that, there is no future of true peace. We are simply led down by Satan. You know, as David stated, peace is a blessing from God. Brethren, it's something that this world, as we see in the news, is not blessed with. But you and I, especially as we go before out into this world as these holy days come upon us, we must still carry that banner that professes godly peace. That is what we are tasked to do, no matter how much that contradicts with the society around us. Because, brethren, we are going to be remembered, we are going to be honored for our part in bringing lasting peace to this earth.